This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Beyond Rhyme. This is a special edition. We just thought we'd pump out the poetry and talk about poetry and the show's history over the last 4 years. We started off with Johnny, who was a very busy man, and in the end he had to pull out because he was just too busy. And then Camilla came along, and I've been hosting the show for quite a few years now. What does poetry mean? Well, to me, poetry is anything of the written word. There's certain types of poetry. There's haikus and sonnets and rhyming poetry and spear poetry, but it's whatever you really want to be. That's what we've learnt in the time that we've had guests along to the show, that it's really just using your imagination and putting that onto the paper. It doesn't have to rhyme, it doesn't even have to be in time. It's just a beautiful poem is a beautiful poem, and it's part of who you are when you write it. The show's been great. We had a lot of guests. We always had new guests along, and at one stage we even advertised in the Star, and some people answered the ad in the paper and came along. We had a lovely man who had children's books which he'd illustrated and published, and he was just a joy. They're all a joy. We're going to look into some poetry now, and I wrote one called Natter. Now, this to me is the epitome to me in life in the 50s and 60s when an elderly couple, the guy unfortunately has lost his mobility and sits inside all day grumping and groaning, and the old dear will walk out to the gate and talk to her neighbour about how terrible her husband is because he's just grumping and groaning inside all day. But here it goes. Natter. Moping around frustrated in the lounge, she got up and went out to the gate where a neighbour was doing the same. At the letterbox, having a break from the other half, talking freely of family and life gone by. My hubby's got health problems. He's always grumpy. All I do is cook for him. My children are far away. They had so much in common, filling up the void in conversation. Abrupt, selfish and honest, trying to outdo each other, one starting as soon as the other had finished. Talking of the garden and the change in season. No recording, just verbal natter at the end of the drive in the sunlit evening, making a connection and gossiping to stay on top. Of bad self-esteem, not booming but moaning. Back and forth, crisscrossing. It was the guilt that ended it. And if only I could be like them, back inside in the other half, the end of the traditional natter. So my dear mum was probably a bit guilty of that, but it was only because my father was so far down the track of being elderly, but I hope you see the funny side of it. Camilla, welcome. You had trouble in the traffic.
Yeah, I did, and I'm all wet here, as you guys can see. Everything's covered in rain here.
And you've got a beautiful book with you.
That's right. Yes, that's the Quick Brown Dog edition.
And that's a collection?
That's a collection of poems from the... It's a journal from the Higley Writers Institute. And I think that they released this opportunity for people from all over Christchurch to send their poems. And they selected a few to be published in this edition, which had the theme of Renaissance.
Yes.
And I submitted one, and luckily I was published.
Yes, well done. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And you've told me in a previous discussion that some of the poets are quite well known.
Yes.
Around Christchurch or New Zealand or?
New Zealand. Yes. So we have people like, let's see, Gail Ingram. She's quite famous.
Name is recognisable.
She's very famous. And because the publication is divided in two parts, so the first part is the Quick Brown Dog and the second the Lazy Fox. And I believe the Lazy Fox is the one that has more famous names. So we have Doc Drumheller and Helen Mongillo. We also have, in the first part, James Norcliffe. He's a well-known poet.
Yeah, I recognise the name. So I gave an introduction about what I thought poetry was. So just recapping a little bit, I thought it could be anything really, couldn't it, poetry? There's certain makes of poetry, like you've written a couple of haikus and sonnets and rhyming poetry, but really it can be a mixture of anything, can't it?
It can, yeah. It's such a beautiful form that gives opportunity for people to open, to write with open verse or more structured versions, like you said, just before the haiku or the sonnets. And yeah, it's beautiful. Like when we were lucky enough to witness here the poets that came on the show and that they expressed themselves, you know, we could definitely see so much of everybody, so much of their humanity in their writing.
Mm.
So I think that is when a poem is really successful, when they can make use of the language tools that we have available to, you know, imprint themselves into that piece that is out in the world and available for everybody to enjoy.
It's one of those few formats where you can express feelings too.
Mm.
You might be angry or agitated or frustrated, and you can get those feelings on paper in a poem, can't you? Sometimes it's a release, like I've written it down,
mm-hmm.
I feel a bit better now that I've gotten rid of it on paper,
yes. And
it can be a beautiful poem.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of, it helps us with this process of metabolizing our being, you know. Once we put in a paper, it's out there. We process our things, and I heard just recently someone describing writing as not just poetic writing or fictional writing, but actually writing, say, for example, an essay. It's the most sophisticated way for you to think. You know, once you write it down, basically you are elevating your thought. And yeah.
What do you think the difference is between a poem and a lyric for a song? I suppose a lyric has to, it's quite an intricate sort of question, but people write lyrics for music and it seems to be slightly different to poetry, but I can't quite see how they differ.
Oh, is it different? Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's funny you asked that, because I made a little selection of songs for today. But there's one in particular that is very poetic and is by Taylor Swift. Since, you know, we stopped doing the show, we had a Taylor Swift boom. And my daughter's a Swiftie, right? Swiftie for whoever doesn't know, you know, whoever has been in Mars or something like that. Swifties are the Taylor Swift fans.
I'm almost a Swiftie myself. I've watched videos.
Do you know what? I was reluctant to be a Swiftie, because I thought, who cares about Taylor Swift? You know, she just writes songs for teenagers or something like that. And as my daughter started listening and I did my investigation, she's brilliant. She deserves every single bit of accolade that she's been receiving because she is a true artist.
Yes.
I really believe in her artistry, of course. Being in an industry like the music industry, you are subject to having to do certain things to please the industry, you know, to make money, I suppose. But the relationship that she has with writing, which is what everybody that has been in the show demonstrated, is very intimate, is very honest, and that's what makes her work so valuable and makes people from all ages connect with.
Apparently she's a really good daughter as well, to her parents. Yeah, she's quite
a good
wholesome
daughter.
Yeah,
that's right. That's beautiful, isn't it?
Mm.
It's so rare these days to see someone that, you know, is that famous, that has strong values and apparently.
The poem I read out, Natter,
is
from a book, Our Stories Unfolding, Mad Poet Society, Volume 1. So,
Volume 1?
Yeah, so there's other volumes. I haven't seen the others, but I put a couple of poems into this booklet. Speak Your Truth, it says. So I think the Mad Poet Society are getting together once a month at the moment. They must have gotten some good funding. And it's just an open forum at the Beat Street Cafe on Barbados Street. To turn up with your poetry and with a bit of music as well, you can read out your poems to an audience who are very polite.
Nice.
And nice. They always clap.
Welcoming as well.
Yeah, and welcoming.
Yeah. And speaking of music, shall we introduce the first song?
Yes, it's a great idea.
So we'll play Cardigan by Taylor Swift.
Vintage tea, brand new phone, high heels on, cobblestones. When you are young, they assume you know nothing. Sequin smile, black lipstick, sensual politics. When you are young, they assume you know nothing.
Taylor Swift with Cardigan, which is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. It's one of my favourites.
And this is Beyond Rhyme special edition. So what did you get out of the lyrics, Camilla?
I've been listening to this song for a long time, and I remember when I first heard on the radio, and I didn't pay much attention, but I remember when I first heard, which was around 2020, which when she released the album called Folklore, there was something I could remember was like, and I was your favorite. There was this bit of the song, and I said, that's very, you know, that line stuck for me. And then as I started getting to know the lyrics better, it's just so beautiful. So beautiful. Mm. And so the chorus goes, and when I felt like I was an old cardigan under someone's bed, you put me on and said I was your favorite. So I get goosebumps just saying that. It's just so, so beautiful. And when you get to know a little bit of the story of how she put together this album was during the COVID, during the pandemic. So she was isolated from all recording studios, and she contacted some musicians and said, hey, do you guys want to record some music? You know, I miss this, you know, recording process and making music. And they said, sure. So I believe, please, the Swifties out there listening to this, feel free to correct us if I'm saying this wrong, but that's what I vaguely remember from the documentary I watched. So this guy, he's a famous musician from a band, I can't remember the name now, but he wrote some music, sent to her, and then she put the lyrics on it. And she came out with this, you know, with this song and various other songs for the album. And they are so, like, they're completely different to what she made previously, which were more like upbeat songs, you know, heartbreaking songs, but with that kind of focus more for the teenage public. But this one, I thought it was very mature and very sincere, considering that she's no longer just that young girl. She's a woman now, and she's talking about more mature feelings, I suppose.
Does she use rhyme as the main?
She does, yeah. Not all the time. She's very creative. That's what I admire as well, is that she has fun. It feels like she has a lot of fun with the process, you know, with the putting words together. A lot of the things is very playful. So there's definitely a poetic value in there.
Mm.
What about you? What you've been listening to lately?
I went to the Amy Winehouse movie.
Oh, wow.
So I've bought, is it Back to Black?
Yeah,
so I've bought that and just find she was incredibly talented but perhaps couldn't cope in the modern world all that well. Yeah.
Who can?
Yeah.
We're all struggling.
She couldn't stop drinking, the poor thing. She tried her best, and then she carried on drinking so that she could be like her boyfriend, and then in the end she just lost control, unfortunately. But just the beauty of the lyrics and the power of the lyrics and the way it's conveyed with her special singing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, really mm-hmm. special, yeah.
Do you have any favourite song from her album?
Oh, probably Back to Black.
We could maybe play that one as well. What do you think?
Mm.
Yes, let's do it. Amy Winehouse with Back to Black.
Same old, same bed.
Beyond Rhyme special edition with Camilla and Alan. I got a lot of out of that song because I think we all have black moments in our lives, and she's quite honest and open about how she feels when her friend goes back to her old girlfriend and just all the feelings that come up because of that, and my world goes black. It's just as simple as that. It couldn't be any plainer. It couldn't have been put any simpler.
It's so nice when an artist is brave enough, you know, or it reaches a point where they say, you know, I have to put this out somewhere. And they're generous enough to share with everybody else. That is, you know, it's precious.
Yeah.
It is so precious. I suppose this show is a little bit of a, it's got a bit of a nostalgic feeling since we haven't been here in a while. And when I think of Beyond Rhyme, you know, what you managed to accomplish, Alan, with your initiative and contacting poets and bringing people together every month. It was, when I remember Beyond Rhyme, I get this feeling of generosity, you know, of how lucky we've been that so many people wanted to share so much of themselves through their poetry. We are very lucky when we get that experience. What do you think, like, what comes to mind when you think of Beyond Rhyme?
Oh, just the differences in approaches and the heartfelt putting pen to paper, I really enjoyed. Are you courageous enough to read out the poem that you got published in your journal?
I'm not, but I'll do it anyway.
Yeah. And then you can explain to
I'm
us.
I'm not courageous, but hey, let's do it. So it's called Hail City. Hail City, full of grace, divine is with thee. Daffodils dance to radio tunes, in a billy island, in a spring salute, as I count lights and mysteries. Holy city, Avon veins, wash me out of my valley of tears. Ancient blue skies lead my Ave Marias, and from dusk to dawn, deliver me again.
It's so rich.
Is it?
Yes, it is. That's why it got published, yeah.
Yeah, so when I heard about the theme being Renaissance, I thought that this would fit well because it's kind of from dusk to dawn or from dawn to dusk. Mm. Deliver me again, you know. We have this kind of daily opportunity to be born again, to start again. And yeah, but it's a very Christchurch-based poem, you know. Mm. It's like driving in the springtime, you know, through Believre. You get those daffodils there. And this scene that I tried to paint specifically was when I was coming back from dropping off my daughter at school, that I would drive past and you see all the cars, you know, with their radio tunes, you know, and me with my own radio tunes, and I could see the daffodils dancing to them. And as I counted lights, traffic lights, and my mysteries of the rosary.
Yes. How easy is it to wake up in the morning free of baggage and just, here I am, another day? We always look into the past, but sometimes it's best to look into the future and what you want to achieve, I think.
Definitely, yeah. Every day is a chance.
Being positive enough to see any mistakes you made as learnings rather than mistakes.
Yeah, and that we are allowed to make mistakes, you know, we all do.
So the word Renaissance means rebirth, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So each day's a new day. No, that's very good.
When was the last time that you wrote something?
I'm in the middle of writing a poem on Governor's Bay, but I'm just doing some research on it because I don't know Governor's Bay as well as what I'd like to write a poem on it, but it's for my auntie who lives over there.
Quite often you get to stay there. That's lucky.
My poetry has been about landscape, but also about the human processes.
They blend well together. You know, it's funny how we can say something and you say so many things in one go, you know, when you're talking about nature. So much of our nature of the human nature can be reflected in landscape.
I think you might have heard this poem before, but it's all about what it was like to be in the Wild West as just a normal sort of average Joe Bloggs cowboy.
Yeah.
It was a very masculine society back then because of the differences between females and males. There was like a power play between...
There was.
So this is just a... Sorry if I said the wrong thing.
No, just funny because I think there will be forever, possibly.
Banjo. Stirrup jeans of Levi's quiver the enemy in a banjo way, singing and dancing over the edge in happiness, stunning love, breaking the silence, sounding like taking of a silk glove crescendo, upheavals, celebrating the western hard ways, the grace of a tornado, the movement of the bramble weed, hiding in the swamp in an old hippie, sheltering the short life of a toothless cowboy, honour his music, the playful notes, habitat story from start to go, accomplish the filling of the void of the empty dry desert, creating cascades of water for the many to drink, swaying back and forth, up and down, lent on a cotton shirt, the night of the banjo. So it's all about playing the banjo in the Wild West and the sort of images that portrays the simplicity of the musical instrument and the simplicity of the life led by people back then.
Mm. When did you write that?
Oh, some years ago, but I just thought I'd...
And you read on the radio before, that's why you said...
Yeah.
You might... Oh, okay. I didn't remember that particular one, but it's so cool.
I just...
Levi's, is it the jeans?
Yeah. But imagine being stuck in a desert, you know, looking for water all day and making sure your horses are watered, and all we have to do is turn on the tap. Everything was so exposed back then and probably quite violent, I suppose, as well.
I think that's probably why it was violent, because it was all or nothing, you know. Mm. It was, they were constantly fighting for survival. Mm. And we've got it so easy now, don't we? We whinge about, I don't know, the heat pump not working or something like that.
And have you got a haiku?
Do I have? I have a few. I suppose I better.
So, what made you write a haiku, and what is a haiku?
A haiku is a very short type of poem that you have three lines, first and last line with five syllables, and the middle one with seven syllables. The reason why I like haikus is because they force me to stick to the structure.
Yes.
And be very concise, you know, like there's no waste of words. I have to somehow condense my thoughts and create one picture that is clear, or maybe not that clear, but that creates an impact in those three lines. So that's what I like about it.
Well, I have my ears on for this, and have a good listen.
Okay, so it's got no title, but it goes, in a splash of self, leaking over the hard frame, all our thin layers meet.
All our thin layers meet. Mm-hmm. That creates quite a picture. It's quite genius, really, I think, in all honesty. I think, read that again, it's got so much to it, against a hard frame, dropping water against a hard frame. Yeah.
In a splash of self, leaking over the hard frame, all our thin layers meet.
And thin layers are?
I suppose our thin layers, you know, the layers of our being. And what inspired me to write that was when I was doing photography, I did some works with a painter, and she had this really beautiful artworks. And one of her artworks was about the 15th of March, you know, the episode about the shooting. And there was basically this splash, you know, in the middle of her canvas. And I thought, oh, that's so beautiful, you know, how she managed to convey this. That's why visual arts are so, so powerful. And I tried to perhaps translate that. And in that splash.
Yes.
In that splash.
Yes,
of
yes.
self, of herself. Our thin layers, you know, the layers of our humanity connecting to the episode, you know, to the layers of the artist herself. And yeah.
That's true. Poetry, Camilla.
Well, thank you. Well, so is yours.
So how long did it take to collate the book of poetry?
I'm not sure how long, you know, they took to decide who was going, but I think I sent my poem a while ago and they gave us the result last year sometime and they published in February.
And is it a buy?
Is it available for anyone to buy? I don't know. I know that they printed initially only 100 copies. And I've got the number 86. I don't know what that means, if they have sold or gave away the 86. But, yeah, I suppose the best way to find out would be to contact the Hegley Writers Institute via Facebook. They do have a Facebook page, or emailing Hegley, and I'm sure they will be able to redirect any of the listeners interested in getting this collection, which is beautiful. It is a beautiful printed copy of it. It's really lovely. And at the back it says, the print shop, Fairymead Heritage Park.
Ah,
so
right.
They print that. Lovely paper and illustrations.
Does anybody else in your family write poetry?
Not that I know.
No, not yet.
No. Maybe my children will, hopefully, if they feel like, yeah.
My sister used to write epics of travelling stories.
Felicity.
Hilary. Yeah, okay. She's been on many journeys in the outdoors and she likes to write about them. It's all rhyming. It's like a... Yeah, I think you call it an epic poem describing a part of a journey. It's too cold for buskers at the moment, but I thought I'd read a poem on the buskers. Into town we go, maybe warm weather, at our special spot on the pavement, against the risk of the casino. Whispering, talking to each other, one with an acoustic guitar and one with a rattle, all linked to a small amplifier, as people walk or stagger the pavement, on their own in a group, some sober, some drunk, all passing their musical show, playing blues and rock and roll, as bouncers check ID. Will my passers-by win and give me a tip? Itself a gamble. But we enjoy saying hello, in all weather, hot, wet, windy or cold, from dusk till late, saying hi to the lonely, or welcoming the spirited, always polite, avoiding a fight, and Victoria Street glistens with a steady vibrancy, conversation echoing from the pavement, giving a win of joy, pampering the stress of life. Have a good night, good luck, the duo gives sweet music to the passers-by, the buskers. So that's a story about some buskers outside the casino.
Yeah.
He's got an amplifier and he's got recorder. He's got, you name it, he's got it. It's all all battery powered and
well equipped.
And he sets it all up and he and his wife used to do it, but unfortunately his wife passed away, so he's carried on the legend, and he's so skilled and so good at what he does, I think he does get a lot of tips from the public.
Nice.
All it takes One gambler to win $100, and you never know, that $20 note might come his way when he walks out.
Yes, yeah, he's making someone's day brighter, you know.
And somehow he plays an electric guitar with a battery amplifier. Yeah, like he's got it all
sorted out. Yeah. So were you, like, this picture that you painted there, were you part of it? Were you there, like, in this specific day and you
I walked past it at night, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Was it one day or was it a collection of days and you said...
Ooh. A collection of days, because okay. In the summer, I used to go for a walk. But it just amazes me what modern technology can do.
Yes.
You're probably up with it all, but it just amazes me that you can have...
Well, I used to think that I was up to, you know, with it all, but when I see my children now, I feel... You know, that I'm not. They are very, very well in tune and with everything. I feel a bit old. It's all right. That's something else. Yeah, that's cool. And I think I agree with you about the technology. It's amazing what it can bring out when it's aligned with humanity, you know.
Because yes, exactly.
For a busker, you have to be so brave, so keen to share, to be there, because there will be, and they have to be used to people going past and not paying attention, and it's all part of the act as well, you know, having that resilient and say, it's okay if you say no. It's okay if you walk by. I'm here. Anyway, no matter what, I'll be here. I'll be singing. I'll be performing. Even if you just walk, I am here, part of this landscape and providing this opportunity of joy here.
I always wondered how the wizard did what he did. Talking.
The wizard, oh, is he not doing it anymore?
I'm pretty sure he's retired now. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
And what about, I'll tell you what, who I haven't seen lately, was the pirate in Brighton.
Oh, I haven't seen that. No, tell us about that. Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, there was this, the Brighton pirate. So he used to hang out around Brighton and at the library, often with a lot of people and performing, you know, and he would invite members of the audience to join in and say, have you ever played this? Come on, give it a go. And yeah, so but I haven't seen him lately. Hopefully he's only retired.
I had a dream. I don't have the confidence. Don't feel sorry for me, Camilla, but I was going to busk with poetry.
Why would I feel but sorry I for you?
No, but I didn't have the courage to do it. Like,
well, but it's not over yet. You can still do it.
Yes.
You know, if it warms up, and you don't need an amplifier, you know, you can
just use your
voice. You can take your book, your voice. If you really don't want to be reciting, you can hide behind the book, you know, as musicians hide behind their guitars, you know. They say that when they're not feeling that comfortable to be just singing, being that vulnerable on stage, just with a microphone, they just hide behind the guitar.
Wow.
You have your book?
I have my book. Now, from your experience, how important do you think it is to have a book of... I was in a position to publish a small book of poems, but
yes.
What are your thoughts on... Oh, in my bag here, I've got poetry from different guests that we've had on the show.
Who? Jonathan Spark?
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
Andrew Bell and Beach Poet Bob, definitely,
yep.
Who else published that we know?
Andrew?
Yeah, Andrew Bell, yeah.
Andrew Bell. Do you think
how important
you
it
might
is?
Have a book one day?
Oh, it will happen soon.
With photos? Yeah.
With everything.
With
it
everything.
It just has to happen
because
it's no longer an option, you know. It's no longer like, oh, yeah, I might, it's a hobby. It's like I need to leave something for my children, you know. I want to, because when they look back, when I'm no longer here, I want them to be able to say, hey, my mom did this. She managed to put this together, and this was her, you know, not only the memories of daily life, you know, and being at home and taking to school and cooking, but she had this life as well. This was also her. And maybe that will inspire other moms and other women to say, hey, might not be poetry, it might be anything that you put together and you make a record somehow, being through a book or... I think, just answering your question regarding of how important it is to have a book, I think it's really important that it's a printed form of somehow... not associated to the digital world, because at the moment, as present as it is, everything digital, and you can go and access Instagram and blah, blah, blah. We take that for granted when we think, oh, that will be there forever. It might not. You know, it might not. But this, if you print that, that's forever. You know, print a few copies. So if we have a flood or something, we don't lose it. But this, you know, I believe a lot more in this. Listen, guys, how organic this is, yeah, than in the tap or the swipe, etc. Of the digital world. Because it's all well and good, but this is organic. This is, you hold it, you can make your notes, you can write. It's a lot more closer, it's a lot more what I believe we're designed for.
So I've got a place on my bookshelf with all my poetry books, and when I sit in my chair, sometimes I pull one out and just read a poem. And you think, jeepers, that's amazing.
I know.
That's really amazing, yeah. Mm.
And that is what I think our thin layers, the thin layers that I mentioned just before, they meet in those moments that we get any book. I try to have books everywhere around our house as well. Everywhere, like everywhere. And easy, you know, short enough because my attention span is not that great. So if I can, you know, it's 5 minutes and I read this. And that's why this book, guys, the Quick Brown Dog book is so good as well. Because the poems, they are quite short. You can read them and you take something from that person that is a fellow Cantabrian. You know, and this person is walking out there, possibly feeling the same things that you are feeling, possibly going through the same struggles or same joys that you are.
Mm.
And how cool is it when you get that connection?
Now, out of the cauldron, can we conjure up another song? Shall we have a discussion about it?
We can, yes.
Have you got an idea?
Yeah, well, I was thinking, because one of my favorite bands, and I remember you talking about Eddie Vedder a lot, you know, he has this relationship with New Zealand. And yeah, I absolutely love Pearl Jam, even though if they have whatever politics they're involved with, you know, I love the band. I love the band, and I don't care for whatever they defend. You know, my relationship is with the band and their art. And they released a new album that's called Dark Matter. On the same day that Taylor Swift released her her new album, oh my gosh, how crazy it would have to be to compete with Taylor Swift. But anyway, they released Dark Matter, and there's a song called Dark Matter that we could play now.
Take it away. Let's hear Dark Matter by Pearl Jam.
Intolerance for intolerance, so on. No patience left for impatience, no more.
Welcome back to Beyond Rhyme, this very, very special edition of Beyond Rhyme. This is a one-off, guys, so enjoy it. Enjoy it. I certainly am. It's great to be back in the studio. You know, it's great to see Ellen and Nikki and get the vibe of the Plains FM, which was such an amazing place to create this podcast that... For those of you that don't know, the creator of the podcast is Ellen, guys.
Oh,
so Ellen is the official host, and I used to be a guest. And eventually, Ellen said, yeah, righto, you can sit there. But Ellen was the guy that had the idea and had the guts to say, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get sponsorship, and I'm going to get the poets. And he did it. And he did it for 4 years. We had a break in January. I suppose our last podcast was in January 2023. Wow, yeah. And we're back with this one-off. And yeah, I hope you guys are still out there writing and listening to poetry or to poetic song lyrics and reading poetry. And Ellen, do you have any final words to add to this?
The first week of the first Wednesday of the month is poetry at Catalyst at the Space Academy in Chewham Street, I think it is.
So poets out there, that's another opportunity for you guys.
Not only the Mad Poets who meet once a month at the moment, there is the other one, Catalyst, and there's a writing group at the Linwood Art and Cultural Centre on the first Sunday of the month, starting at 10:30, and it usually goes till about 12. So those are the avenues that I know of, and I hope to go to one of them soon. And just thanks for all the listening, and I hope we can be a catalyst to creativity in the future for you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, everyone, for the support and for the sharing. And I guess this is it for our special.
See you later.